When the Lord Shall Come, Part 3 is the title of our message, taken from Isaiah chapter 19. We shall be considering from verses 16 to 25. The first thought, discomforting and confounding. In that day shall Egypt be like a woman, and it shall be afraid and fear, because of the shaking of the hand of the Lord of hosts, which he shaketh over it. Egypt shall be afraid and fear. Here are two different words to describe fear. Trembling in a sense to shudder and to startle. That's to be afraid. And to tremble in terror. In trembling all before the Lord. Here is a description of Egypt brought to their knees. There was a man who was a revivalist, and he was describing the sinner as being held on a thread, very precarious, below is hellfire. Anytime, if the thread is broken, if he cannot hang on anymore because his strength is waning, he will drop and that's it. Trembling fear because of the calamity that comes in our lives. Whether we reject the Lord, which is the case in many parts of the people in the world today. They don't want God. Or is it amongst the people of God, when the Lord would bring his chastisement hands in our hearts, in our lives, to bring us to submission? The point of comparison here is the mighty men of Egypt, how they will fear as women would fear. In that day shall Egypt be like unto women, and it shall be afraid and fear, a picture of helplessness the prophet is trying to bring to us here. And he was using biblical poetry to describe the judgment of God upon Egypt. And now he would turn from poetry to prose to bring forth the prophecy of blessing. There is a transition, and God is the author of it all. If you have the Lord, if you would seek the Lord, and if the people of God would seek the Lord, and that there would be the visitation of God in our hearts, in the hearts, in the lives of our family, in the people around us, all would change. Do you look forward to that day of the Lord's visitation in your house? When the hearts of your loved ones who are so hardened with sin will turn to the Lord and repent in that day? When the Spirit of God will come and soften, when the Spirit of God will come and hasten, and the Spirit of God will come and change? Do you realize that unless the Lord would do something to change the hearts, nothing would avail, isn't it? But if the Lord would do something to change the heart, you see what a change that will be. What a blessing that will be. That is why you would see before a revival, there are people of God who are very concerned for the souls around them. And they would take time together and to plead with God for mercy, for the souls that are in trouble, the souls that are hardened, inadvertently running in the opposite direction to destruction. How frightening And what can we do? Well, we are helpless, isn't it? Unless the Lord would visit with His blessing. Unless the Lord would change a heart. Unless the Lord would do something. Well, this was what the Lord would do. But before He would do so, you realize that Egypt will go through a great period of facing the wrath of God. But there will be a change. And verse 16 begins that change when the prophet says, in that day. Do you look forward to that day when you pray for your loved ones and your loved ones would turn to the Lord in that day? Someone that you love dearly, someone that you may have pleaded by persuasion, pleaded with hard words, and have been in great dilemma, derision, not knowing what to do anymore. And then the Lord came. And in that day, the Lord changed. This is what we are seeing here. Verse 17, and Judah shall be a terror unto Egypt. Everyone that maketh mention thereof shall be afraid in himself, because of the counsel of the Lord of hosts, which he has determined against it. From poetry in the earlier verses, you see now from a description of judgment to now the Lord bring forth the prophecy of blessing. God can change. Only God can change. And when we would seek the Lord, the people of God, seek the Lord for yourself. Would you seek the Lord? For only when we seek the Lord that there is something that move, omnipotence would move the throne of heaven to hearken to our cry, to hearken to our disappointment, our sadness. In that day, what a joyous day it will be. What a joyous day, isn't it? We look forward to that day when the Lord would visit our homes, when the Lord would come and speak peace amongst the brethren. Deuteronomy 2 verse 25 says, this day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven. We shall hear report of thee and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee. Here the Lord speaks of the nation of Israel coming out of Egypt, a bunch of slaves. But God is going to use this nation to be His witness to all the nations of the world. And the Lord would put His dread, His fear upon the nations. They shall hear of the report. Did the two spies not hear from Rahab the report that the people in Jericho have knocking knees, trembling for fear? The object of Egypt's fear, E.J. Young observed well, is the counsel of the Lord, though Egypt cannot fully understand it. In some sense, we say Egypt feared the Lord and realized, even though imperfectly, that He was the cause of her suffering. Do you see the things that are happening around you to the hand of God moving all the things that goes on around you? Do you see that? Well, Let us learn to see that, because that is what truly counts, isn't it? Not what we think, we gender in our own minds. The counsel of the Lord, that will stand. The will of God, that will stand. How precious is the will of God? Do you seek the will of God? To walk in the center of God's will? To know the word of God and to obey it and to follow it each day of your life? That is blessing. And Egypt is beginning to see the counsel of the Lord in their heart, in their lives. When we begin to see, at first we may see darkly, that I think it's quite true, you know, there is something happening to my life, and there is a divine perspective to it. Right? Previously we said, oh no, only those things which I can explain, I can reason it out, you know, I can believe. But soon, as you plow through the Bible, you realize that, wow, there is a God in heaven that directs all things around us. And when we see it, wow, we begin to tremble and say, oh, this God sees, you know. He knows what's going on in my life. Even the very hairs of our head is numbered by the Lord. Here, you see the Lord begin to convict the hearts of the people in Egypt. The convicting and the converting. In that day, so Isaiah is emphasizing that day. Dear friends, do you look forward to that day of redemption, that day when your prayers are answered? That day will be a joyful day, isn't it? And if you are a child of God and you hope in God, then you would be patient to wait upon God for the hope that your prayer will be answered, isn't it? That the day would be fulfilled when the Lord would move the heart, change the heart, when the Lord would cause a most miraculous movement that would change the landscape of your home, that would change the landscape of the church, amongst the brethren in the church. Here the tone changes, the judgment recedes, and the blessings of the Lord is poured forth. You know, we can spend time praying and sometimes we wonder when the Lord is going to show us the way. When is going to be merciful? And as we wait, we wrestle with God and we wrestle in prayer, seeking for the Lord's blessing, just as Jacob did. When he wrestled the entire night before he would meet his brother Esau, and he would wrestle with the Lord, and he would wrestle with the Lord because he was so afraid, because the brother would eat him up. He was so afraid that he would not let go of the Lord. He would cling on, he would cling on. And even when he was crippled, he would not let go. He would not let go. You remember that woman who came to the Lord and seek for his daughter's salvation, the Lord to heal the daughter. And said, the Lord said to him, boy, you are a dirty woman, as it were. Why should you come? Well, she said that, you know, I'm willing even to eat the crumbs that drop off from the table. Well, she humbled herself. she realized that there's no one else that can save the poor daughter except the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, and she humbled herself before the Lord. And the Lord said, "Wow, I haven't seen such faith. He would come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who determines all things, who creates all things, and he is the one who sustains all things. Oh, if he would bless, what great blessing it would be, isn't it? Even in the wilderness, you see the people who were hungry were fed with just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He break the bread and he broke the fish. And there the people ate, 5,000 besides women and children. The source of our blessings, the blessing of the Lord meeting with us. In that day shall 5 cities in the land of Egypt speak the language of Canaan and swear to the Lord of hosts. One shall be called the city of destruction. In that day, 5 cities employed 10% the number of completeness, observed Joseph A. Alexander, equivalent to many cities. The act of thus professing the true faith and submitting to the true God is described here in these verses before us in 5 cities. The language of the people of Egypt, they would not speak the Canaanite language, but they would speak the language in which the God of Canaan is worshipped. Canaan's language is to speak in the language which the God of Israel worship, or the Israelites, the God of the Israelites would worship. The language of the promised land. Egypt will worship the God of truth. What a blessing it is that you would see in a family, you can sing together the hymns, and you know, it would not be a odd thing, right, to pray before you would partake of your meal. Right? None would just look at you and stare at you, but all would bow their head to the Lord to pray. What a blessed time it will be, and all speak the same language, sing the same hymns of Zion, and would be willing to worship the same God. The actions of the Egyptians in pledging their complete devotions and allegiance to God is a foreshadow of what Isaiah would say later in Isaiah 45, verse 23. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear, every tongue shall confess. Well, the verse that John would use to describe in the last day when Christ would return and the whole world would turn to God. We look forward, isn't it, to that day. It is a marvelous testimony to turn from idols to serve the living and true God, as it is said of the believers in the church in Thessalonica. For they themselves showed of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. One of our sisters said, I used to have a curtain with all the gods of Egypt. I don't remember, it's lost now. But someone gave it to me. Imagine the curtains with all the gods of Egypt imprinted on it. Wow, what a curtain. What a land of Egypt. Right? They had a god every single day of the year. And the Egyptians are very busy, isn't it? Right? running here and running there, seeking here and seeking there. If there's only one true God, then there's only one place to go, isn't it? One place of worship, one place of prayer. We will be running here and there. We have to set our hearts straight before God. There's no other way. It's either the Lord or ourselves, you see. But if it's the Lord, then we have to submit to Him. Then we have to change. Conversion is a miracle of the heart when God turns a person to Him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5 to 6, Paul says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." The conversion of a soul, the change, and you realize that, oh, something precious that I'm seeking for, I seek it with all my soul, all my heart, and I have been so satisfied. So Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." You have heard the word, but the word is not effectual if the Spirit of God will not use it to convict and convert the soul, isn't it? And here, Paul is saying that indeed in Thessalonica, something has happened and a change has taken place. The people of God, once distracted and disturbed, but now restful and resting in the Lord. Are we restful and resting in the Lord? The Lord wants us to be restful and resting in Him. There will come a time when Egypt will worship the true God. Why? They are so busy with all their idols. Everyone per day. Wow. Just getting to know them would be, you know, such a mindful, earful. What foolishness. Out of the thick and threatening clouds of the foregoing prophecy, Matthew Henry says, "The sun of comfort here breaks forth. It is the sun of righteousness. God, still God has mercy in store for Egypt." Are you discouraged, despondent, because you feel so helpless in helping the people around you? Well, we have a God who answers prayer. We have a God who knows your every concern, your every need. And if you would cry out to Him, would He not answer you? Will He not help you? Surely He will help you. Surely He will answer you. God has mercy in store for Egypt. Will He not have mercy in store for you? If we would seek Him, if you call to Him, will we not be accepted of Him when we would come before Him to worship the one living and true God, to receive the blessings of grace? Is much more valuable than all the blessings of nature wherewith Egypt was enriched. Egypt had everything, but they were not happy. We may have everything, but we are not happy. The Lord wants us to be happy. When we seek the true blessings. So with small beginnings, Eckmuller says, even Egypt will begin to participate in the unity of God's worldwide people and make its commitment to the Lord. What a happy time it will be, isn't it? Wow, when we see people who are hard in their hearts, turning to the Lord. Well, we seek for the Lord's blessing. And one of the city called the city of destruction, the word heres here, is a masculine noun indicating destruction or an overthrow. It indicates one of the five cities in Egypt where the language of Canaan was spoken, and the city of destruction. Well, could it be that there is a deliberate change there in the way that word is pronounced, heres, to describe in a punning illusion on Heliopolis, which was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar? Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 43, verse 12 to 13, I will kindle a fire in the houses of the gods of Egypt, and he shall burn them and carry them away captives. And he shall array himself with the land of Egypt as a shepherd putteth on his garment, and he shall go forth from tents in peace. He shall break also the images of Bethshemesh, and in that is in the land of Egypt, the houses of the gods of the Egyptians shall he burn with fire. In that day, do you look forward to that day? The church look forward to that day. The day when the Lord would visit us. The day when the Lord would change. What a happy day it will be. Do you look forward to it? Well, we look forward to it, isn't it? And while we do so, well, we see in that day, shall there be an altar to the Lord in the midst of Egypt, the land of Egypt, and the pillar at the border thereof to the Lord. The emphasis of Isaiah is what he saw on that day, an altar that is dedicated to the Lord. How happy it will be, isn't it, where the home has its family altar, and where all its members would come together and worship together in the midst of the land of Egypt, right at the center, where it matters most, an altar dedicated to the Lord, where sacrifices are offered to Him. In other words, the worship of the living and true God was found in Egypt. The true God will be worshipped there. What a happy day it will be. Do you look forward to that day? Well, we look forward to that day. And so we will not stop pleading, isn't it? We will not stop praying. We will not give up hope. But we would persevere with the Lord, wrestling with Him for His blessings. In that day, this altar is said to be in the midst of the land. It's in the center of life in the land of Egypt. Imagine, no more bickering, no more dissension. How tiring the division it will be. The pillar is a stone memorial, a single stone devoted to the Lord. And you would notice from verse 19 onwards, the Lord would be mentioned 10 times all the way to the end of the chapter. The Lord, the blessing of the Lord will be upon Egypt. The entire Egypt will be converted, and the blessings Egypt will experience because of the Lord. Isn't it? When you look at your loved ones, you look at the people around you, your colleagues who are still outside the kingdom of God, well, you see how they struggle. In a Christless eternity, and we felt helpless, we feel helpless to their well-being, isn't it? Only when the Lord would move, when we would be close to the Lord, when we would be willing to wait upon the Lord, we would be willing to trust the Lord. Verse 20, and it shall be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts. And you notice the word, the phrase there, the Lord of hosts. The Lord moving in strength. the Lord moving in strength? Is the Lord weak in your life that your prayers are not answered? Is the Lord weak in your life that the Lord will not be able to do what will be needful to help you in this situation or that situation? Well, the Lord will be there. Verse 20 says, "And it shall be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. For they shall cry unto the Lord because of the oppressors." What? Who are the oppressors? Well, those who deal unjustly toward us and who are mighty in strength, causing us to be under miserable subjection. Well, the Lord says, "He shall send them a Savior, a great one, and He shall deliver them." E.J. Young observed well, he says, "Like the rainbow following the flood, so the altar and the stone were to be signs, witnesses with binding force. When the Lord sees these monuments, He will recognize His own and hear their prayer. He will look upon the stone and see in it a sign and a witness, and that He is to hear and to answer Egyptians' cry for help." Our prayers to the Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus Christ. How powerful is that prayer? Do you realize how powerful is that prayer? Do you see how the Lord, seated at the right hand of the Father, is there interceding for you? The people of God are under the care of God. Well, that's the verse that we use, isn't it, for our anniversary this year. "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. Thou shalt drink them of the river of thy pleasures." The loving kindness of God speaks of His loyalty, His faithfulness, His goodness towards His people. The loving kindness expresses the basic character of God, the concept of faithfulness, of steadfast love, more generally of kindness, that's represented by the word here, hesed, which in the book of Deuteronomy is said, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God." In other words, He will have your back. He will take care of you. "Commit yourselves to Him wholeheartedly, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him, and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. Translated, mercy of God as the superior party in a relationship involves deliverance and protection as a responsible keeping of faith with another with whom one is in a relationship. Do you have that relationship with the Lord that you can speak of? That relationship that you can speak of. I pray God answers. Can you speak of that? I pray and God answers. How marvelous it is to live such a life, isn't it? When we live in the center of God's will, we would pray and God answers. "And the Lord shall be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians shall know the Lord in that day." That day. In that day. Emphasized over and over again to give us hope. To give us the strength to not give up, not become weary, but to keep persevering in prayer. "And the Lord shall be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians shall know the Lord in that day, and do sacrifice and oblation. Yea, they shall vow a vow unto the Lord and perform it." The verse begins with a simple statement that the Lord will be known or make known to Egypt. This declaration implies more than that the Egyptians know the name by which God is called or invoked in Judah. is more than a practical recognition of their duties toward Him. The knowledge spoken of involves a recognition of that the Lord is the true God, and it includes a personal relationship with Him as one's own God. In other words, you have that confidence. You have that confidence that you will prevail with the Lord. What a life that will be, isn't it? Well, that's what Isaiah is speaking to us about. At the foundation of true worship, there must be knowledge, and this knowledge is a divine gift when God would meet with His people. For He has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Dear friends, do you have that Spirit of God that is with you, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God? That the people in Egypt at that day will see, they will know. And the Lord shall smite Egypt, and He shall smite and heal it, and they shall return unto the Lord, and He shall be entreated of them, and He shall heal them. Egypt worships the Lord, and therefore to be treated like a true child of God, for whom He loveth, the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, the Bible tells us. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourges every son whom He receiveth. Sometimes we say, oh, why, Lord, why? Well, if we have not received those stripes, if we have not been chastised of Him, how would we learn? How can we learn? If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Moses says in Deuteronomy 8 verse 5, thou shalt also consider in thy heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Why does God have to do the painful thing in our life? Well, because He loves us, and He delighteth in us, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. If we would endure chastening, not run away, but endure chastening, in that day shall there be a highway out of Egypt to Assyria. And the Assyrians will come into Egypt, and the Egyptians into Assyria, and the Egyptians shall serve with the Assyrians. Two once hostile Gentile nations were engaged in friendly and brotherly fellowship, a fact which is symbolized by their traveling over the road from one country to another. When men and nations come to know the Lord, their mutual hostilities and animosities cease, and they seek to act toward one another as brothers. Both travel over the same highway, not delighting only in service of the Lord, but also in mutual help. Assyria and Egypt had been two inveterate enemies of each other and also of Israel. The God of Israel, however, was more powerful than the gods of these countries. And He brought about it that they should know Him as their God. So as we go out to give a tract to the various houses, right, you see there are elephant God. Right? Elephant God is the God of prosperity. There's so many of them. Right? Every other door you knock, or every other door you pass, you see you have the elephant God. Well, then you have the Chinese God, isn't it? Also the God of prosperity. And how prevalent they are, and how they are there. Well, is there any reconciliation? In that day, the time of Messiah, what Isaiah's day were called Egypt and Assyria will serve the Lord. The conversion of the nations as a symbol of the conversion of the heathen, standing as it were at two opposite poles of enmity to the Lord. These nations represent the world power in all its forms. The reversal of Babel. In that day shall Israel be third, the third with Egypt and with Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land. Egypt has been the object of enmity. Right? Egypt is, Israel is the object of enmity, right in between. Right? Assyria up north, Egypt down south. Right? And as a third to the other two nations, she will complete the unity. The three together will represent the entirety of the world in the worship of the Lord, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, "Blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance." This chapter closes with a solemn dedication, benediction, which God pronounces upon these three people. Israel has been a blessing, so God will bless it. But the blessing will come to all three nations, for the Lord is now the God of all nations and not merely of Israel. We look forward to that day, where the Lord says in Matthew 24:14, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, then the end shall come." As you go about preaching the gospel, the Lord will take care of you. As you go about doing His work, well, He will ensure that your life will be taken care of, because He has no one except you. Your hands, your feet, your eyes, your body. And if you will not go, who else will go? May the church be motivated to carry forth the end time gospel to the ends of the world, preaching that the Lord is coming. Repent and come to Him. In that day, well, before that day, you see that the Lord would visit His people. And that day comes to different people at different times. But there will be a day of consummation, which is described here by Isaiah, that day. Do you look forward to that day? We all look forward to that day, isn't it? When we no longer have to struggle with the sin within, the devil without, and the world seeking to encroach upon us. Well, we thank the Lord that in Him, in His Word, we can find solace and comfort and hope today and day by day, day to day. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. Strengthen Thy church. Strengthen Thy people to continue to look to Thee, seek Thee, pray to Thee, and plead with Thee for Thy blessings, for Thy visitation upon every household that is represented here. For Thy own mercy's sake, hear our prayer. This I ask with thanksgiving, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.